All right, now back with me is former Bills, Panthers, and Packers wide receiver and now head coach of Aurora University, Don Beebe. Let me remind you a little bit about Don's background. He's from Aurora, Illinois. He attended Caneland High School in Maple Park, Illinois, where he was a three-sport star, lettering in track, basketball, and football. Started out his college career at Western Illinois University, later transferred to Chadron State College there in Nebraska, where he ran track and played football. Despite only being there for 1 year, he became the first person in school history to score a touchdown in every game. He was also the first to score 5 touchdowns in a game. He set the single season record for most touchdowns with 15, most points with 90, and most all-purpose yards for 1,663. In track, he set the NAIA District 11 record in the 60-yard dash. The Omaha Herald named him the 1989 State College Athlete of the Year. He was inducted into the Chadron State Athletic Hall of Fame in 2000, and their football stadium is named in his honor. He was invited to the NFL Combine in 89, where he ran a 4.4 40, fastest among the receivers. He was a third-round draft pick by the Buffalo Bills, but their first pick in the 89 draft. He played in the league from 1989 to 1997. He was a part of the Packers Super Bowl 31 championship team. And like I say, now he's the head coach back at Aurora University. And I couldn't be more honored. I get to spend some time with him this week here on Next on the Tee. Hey, Don, thanks for coming on the show.
Always a pleasure, Christian. I appreciate you having me on.
Don, I want to start our time this week by going back and getting your thoughts of your Aurora Spartans last season. You guys were undefeated during the regular season, scoring at a prolific rate, my goodness. And then you guys made it into the second round of the D3 playoffs. How do you feel about how the season turned out?
Yeah, it was really well. It was a historic year again for AU, getting the home field playoff game, the first playoff game in school history and the conference history, and we won it. And so we have a lot coming back, Chris. So everything's very positive at AU. I'm very excited, and we're certainly one of those teams that could probably pull it off. But we got to get breaks, got to get things to go our way at the right time. But we certainly have the talent to do it.
No doubt you do. My goodness, you guys average 62 points a game. The offense is unbelievable. Talk about that.
Yeah. We in our conference we averaged 62.6 and gave up 7.1. So it was
wow.
We had a very dominant year on both sides of the ball this year, and our defense has finally caught up to our offense, which is great because we've had a top 10 offense for all 5 years, and defensively we're now getting to that point. So that's good, and our special teams got better, so we're becoming a much more complete team.
Speaking of being a complete team, one of the things that I have most respected about you as a coach, you always talk about the importance of your players becoming men of good character. Talk about how you determine that those kids are going to be, they're going to fit into those roles. When you're out there recruiting, how do you know the right kid to pick and the guys that are going to be really good role models within their communities?
Yeah, that's tough to do. I remember when I took the job at AU, you know, I called my old mentor and head coach of the Buffalo Bills, Coach Levy. He lives in the North Shore of Chicago, which is just we're 40 minutes from there. And I called him up and I said, "Hey, Coach, I'd really love to go to dinner." We've been to dinner several times downtown before with my wife and him and Franny, his wife. And so we went to dinner January 2019, and I'd just taken the job. And I asked him, I said, "Coach," I said, "what do you look for in a left tackle and a quarterback and blah, blah, blah." He looked at me and he said, "Don," he says, "before you ever get to that," he says, "recruit 3 things." He said, "character, character, and character." He says, "you can't go wrong. You're going to win a lot more. And it's going to be a lot less headache." So that's always been my motto. I mean, I kind of knew what he was going to say in a sense, because that's what he did with Buffalo and everywhere he had been. And he's a true man of character. And that's what we've done. Now, how do you find it is the question. I always like to watch their film and see how they react to their success. Tells me a lot about them. I always want to watch somebody else that I'm recruiting or other than what I'm recruiting, typically the same position. So if I'm recruiting a wideout, I'll look at another wideout's video, even though I'm not recruiting them, but I'm watching when somebody else has success. Does the guy that I want in recruiting generally have excitement for somebody else's success? That's a team guy. And so I'm looking for his reactions on that. And then I want to interview, be it on Zoom or one-on-one in my office. And the first question I ask him is, I always say, you know, give me the top three most important things in your life in order, 1 to 3. What are they? And if he says football, if he says football first, his priorities are screwed up. Now, a lot of coaches out there might disagree with this, but if my identity is in football, that's pretty shallow. I'll be honest with you. My life has to be more in depth than that. And how they answer that tells me a lot about their character. So, and then I just take it from there, to be honest with you, Chris.
Don, it's interesting that you mention all of those things, because one of the things that frustrates me about sports nowadays is, even in a team sport like football, so many players are me guys. To your point about seeing how they react to somebody else, everybody wants to point to me. They want to point to the name on the back of the jersey. I always love Herb Brooks talking about how the name on the front of the jersey is more important than the one on the back.
True.
Those are things that seem to have changed. And I don't know if it's a society thing, because there is so much social media, but that's got to be hard to find a guy who wants to be a team guy more than he wants to be a me guy.
I would agree with that. But we find them, and a lot of coaches that do this in the right way, I think, find them as well. They're out there. And that's why I like interviewing mom and dad too. I love when mom and dad make the trip, you know, cause I want the whole family complex and just to see it all in form. But you can dig deep into a kid and find just the way he shakes my hand and walks in the door. And if he was with his mom, hopefully mom goes through that door first. Right.
Yep.
Just simple things like that tell you a lot about a young man's character. I've had superstar kids come into my office and they'll come in and they'll slouch in that chair. They got an earpiece in their ear with a hoodie on their head and it's hard to get conversation with them. There ain't no way that kid's coming to AU. I mean, that's a real red flag. So there's way of doing it. And character, hands down, is if you don't pass the character test, yeah, you're probably not coming to AU.
I love all of that. Good for you, Don. And speaking of men of character, your famous play of running down Leon Lett and causing the fumble before he scored in Super Bowl 27, that game was already decided when that happened. It was 52-17 at the time with 5 minutes left in the game. But it has turned out to be a huge play. It meant a lot to Bills fans. It meant a lot to the Bills owner, the late Ralph Wilson. Talk about how you were the first person that Mr. Wilson came over to speak in the locker room after the game and how much that play meant to him.
Yeah, I mean, you watch my reaction. I'm not happy. I get up. I'm not happy. We're getting blown out. I mean, who could be happy? It's 52-17. And I had no idea what just happened. I was just doing my job, Chris, as you well know. And it really meant nothing to me until I literally got into the locker room. And I got into that locker room and Ralph Wilson walks in. Mr. Wilson walks in and he usually stops by all the guys. He literally had a mission. He was on a mission. He walked in that locker room and I was watching and he came right to me, bypassed a lot of different people and it went right to me. So he had a mission, right? And he said to me, he said, son, he didn't call me number 82, Don, BB. He didn't say anything. He just said, hey, son, you showed me exactly what Buffalo Bills are all about. And I just want to say thanks.
Wow.
And from that moment on, it resonated with me. Wow. It meant a lot to him. And then I had to go to the media room. Oh my goodness. Every mic was in my face asking me about this. And I was just like, what in the world? This is a crazy, stupid play in an insignificant moment. But yet I use that play today, Chris. Golly, we're coming up on 30 years now almost. And I hear from somebody every single day through fan mail, typically, or doing a podcast, something like this or whatever, a show, you know. And I wrote a book, which we'll talk about later, the name of the book is entitled Never Give Up. I mean, I'm still using this play. And the analogy I use is I really felt like I was going to score the touchdown that game. I really did. And I prayed before that game. I felt great. And selfishly speaking, I thought I was going to be the guy to score the touchdown to win it in Buffalo history. And boy, I would have been a hero. There's no doubt. But how many people would that have really affected deeply on the stages that I stand when I talk to crowds or the kids that I coach or I train or on a show like this? I mean, how many people can relate to that? Probably nobody. Very little, right?
Right.
But how many people can relate to never giving up? Everybody. I mean, nobody is immune to tough times. Nobody is immune to getting kicked in the gut and you have to wake up the next morning and it's another day and you got to go, right?
Right.
I mean, that's life. And it's given me, Chris, so many opportunities to speak on that. And I am honored to be that guy, to be honest with you.
So as you alluded to a moment ago, you have a very deep faith. You were out there before the game, walking around the stadium, trying to drink it all in, and you said a prayer that you wanted to be the guy to make the game-winning catch.
Yeah.
But to your point, that probably would have lasted in everybody's mind for a very short period of time. Instead, God used you to make that play, which has resonated with millions of people, not just Buffalo Bills fans that would have liked to have reflected back on their first Super Bowl victory. This has resonated with everybody. This is a different way that he used you. Talk about that.
Hey, you know, Chris, this is so good and so deep, and I hope people can understand this, but if I would have been the guy to score the touchdown to win the Super Bowl, knowing what has happened since the Leon Lett play, I would take the Leon Lett play all over again. And I know Bills fans are like, what is he talking about? You know, is he just crazy? You know, and I understand their point to a certain degree, but my focus as an athlete, as a coach today, is on the big picture, not the here and now, not the selfish picture, not all about me or what it could have been done here. The big picture is eternity. The big picture is where are we going from here when this is all said and done. We're here for 70 to 80 years, roughly, right? That's not very long when you're looking at the eternity line. That's forever. I want to know, I know where I'm going, and I want people to know that as well. And what a great avenue that play has given me. Yeah, sure. Again, if I would have scored the touchdown, it'd been great, but they're not going to relate to an in-depth, eternal, meaningful, you know, conversation that I can have with somebody, but this I can relate to, and so can they. And boy, and I'm so glad God used me. Our ways are not his ways. Okay. His timing is always perfect. Mine's not. And when I prayed that prayer, and I'm not kidding, it was one of those prayers that I would never forget. And all I simply prayed that day, Chris, on that beautiful moment in Pasadena before the game, because it was gorgeous out. And I said, Lord, unlike any other time in my career, let me glorify your name today more than mine, more than any time. I want to today, and I usually pray this all the time, but not to this level of depth. I really, really, truly wanted to honor him on this day, the biggest game in, you know, in sports. And here I am. I'm having my moment. My dream field as a kid to play was Pasadena in the backyard of mom and dad's house. That was it as a young boy. And I'm living my dream. That dream had to be centered on Christ and not me. And sure, selfishly, when I got up, like you said, I thought I was going to be the guy. I mean, I felt so good. Good night. I thought I could have caught everything, right? But no, he gave me the Leon Lett play because he knows better. And his timing's always perfect. And his will is always done for those that listen. And today, that day, I was listening. And I really wanted to do his will, and I did. And I'm so glad that it happened that way.
Mission accomplished, for sure.
Yeah.
You talked about boxes of fan mail that you got following in the days afterwards and all that sort of thing. And again, to take it further, I'm sure it wasn't just Buffalo Bills fans that were writing to you. Mm-hmm. Talk about some of the fan mail that you got and what the people were saying to you about that play.
Yeah, I got a stack I'm looking at right now on my desk, Chris. It every day. I'm flabbergasted. First of all, when it first happened and I got back to One Bills Drive, within the next few weeks, I was getting boxes. It wasn't like they were just filling up my mailbox. No, they were filling up big UPS boxes of fan mail. I mean, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds every day. I had to go down, pick up the box. And I would always joking with Jim Kelly. I would say, hey man, I'm getting a ton more than you are, pal. he would laugh. He'd laugh. But still today, here we are again, creeping on, I don't even know what, 27, 28 years later, right? Or whatever it is, 30 years. I don't know anymore, but I still get fan mail every day. Every single day, somebody is telling me about how it impacted their life. And that play was great, awesome. And I'm known as that play. And I make sure I sign every one of those things to those people because it means a lot to them. And, it means a lot to me, too. To be used by God, Chris, man, that's a humble, awesome thing to be able to be.
You talked about the devotional book that you have now come out with. It's, again, Never Give Up, the Competitive Athlete's Devotional. Talk about the things that we are going to learn when we go out there and get our copies of this.
Yeah, you know, Chris, I signed with a company, a publishing company named Kaifek down in Nashville, and my daughter works for this company, they wanted me to do a wide receiver book. Great, no problem. Let's do it. So I started writing this wide receiver book. I got about halfway through it, and I'm literally on the phone with my daughter, and I'm driving to, you know, I'm getting out of my car to fill my gas up for the car at BP, right? And it literally just dawned on me, this whole idea. And I was like, Caitlin, I said, I got to tell you something. I said, I really feel like God is laying something on my heart. So we're going to put this wide receiver book on the back burner. And I said, and this is what we're going to do. This literally came to me in minutes, and I'm telling her what I wanted to do, right? And I said, we're going to do a devotional. Now, there's a lot of devotionals out there, Caitlin, so listen to me here. I said, there's even a lot of devotionals for athletes out there that you can find in the market. But how many former professional athletes have written a devotional on stories that God's allowed them to go through, typically hard times, right? And then you grow through it through your faith, and it's centered on scripture and how I handled it as a Christian athlete. And I told her that's what I was doing. She loved it. And I was like, that's what I'm going to do. So literally the next 2 weeks, I'm telling you, I sat down, writing these 12 stories, and it was just flowing out of me. It was just easy. Maybe one of the easiest things I've ever been able to do as far as a project. And it just came out last Monday. It's called, like you said, Never Give Up Devotional. It's 12 different stories that's happened to me. I mean, things like, you know, obviously the Leon Lett play was number one, Never Giving Up. Keep Suiting Up was the Carolina story when I went to the Carolina Panthers, which was just an awful experience. I love Charlotte but you know, I had to deal with some things as an athlete that I share, contentment, doubt as an athlete, I don't care what sport you play, boys or girls. This ain't about football. This is about athletes dealing with tough things that they go through. And how did I deal with it from a faith-based standpoint? And I wrote it down, and we just had a 4-day deal on this, and it's been overwhelming, the response that we've gotten off this, Chris, and it's been great. And I just wanted to share with people that go through hard times, because everybody listening right now, nobody's immune to it. You're gonna go through hard times. It's part of life. You're gonna get kicked in the gut. How do you respond to it? When a coach does this to you or does that to you. And then I'm writing a parent devotional. How should parents handle when their kid's not the man or the lady on the team, right? And then I'm going to write a coach's devotion. You know, how coaches should handle certain things. And I'm talking from a biblical perspective and how I dealt with faith doing those things and going through hard times. Man, it's been great. And it was an honor to do it, and I'm glad I did.
There are a couple of stories, and I obviously don't want you to give everything about the book away, but there are a couple right at the beginning that really hit home for me. And one is about letting God fight your battles for you. Yeah. Talk about not getting yourself too deeply involved in a situation that is likely to spiral out of control against you, and allow God to step in and try to fight that battle on your behalf.
Yeah. Wow. You know, it's funny, because I just had breakfast with a friend of mine today. And I was sharing this very story with him, because he's wanting to pull his kid out of this school, transfer to another school. There's that word again, transfer, you know, or, you know, portal in college. It's like everybody wants to run and thinks it's greener on the other side of the fence. Right. And it's kind of a cliche, but boy, we've taken that to another level nowadays. Right. So I basically told him. And he was complaining about the strategies and what things are being said and all this stuff other than scriptural and spiritual things and what's best for him, for your son spiritually. That's what I was saying, sharing to this kid, guy, my friend. And I, one of my favorite parts in scripture, and there's a lot of them, but Romans 12, 14 through 21 talks about how we're supposed to act when somebody does us wrong. And not only that, allow God to work in your life and let him fight your battles. We always want to point, you know, especially when it comes to parents, and this is going to be a big one in that devotional as well. We always want to push the buttons for our kids, you know, just let the kids teach them spiritual things and let them grow in their spiritual walk and watch how God works with them. Because I promise you this, Chris, if God wants you to do something for those that follow him, Romans 8, 28, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. And God's going to take care of you. But when we try to do it on our own and push those buttons, it hardly ever works out. And if it does, you don't have the peace and joy because it didn't come from Christ. The only way you can find peace and joy in this world, no matter what you're doing, no money in the world is going to give you that. It has to come from God. And that was one of the devotions I wrote about, was Romans 12, 14 through 21. And it's just such a lesson that everybody can learn. Let God fight those battles. Get on your knees instead of trying to push the buttons and fight that battle, because it's not yours. It's God's.
Speaking of somebody doing you wrong and trying to live the best you can a Christian lifestyle, talk about the call you got one day from the state of New York.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was a good one, you know. yeah. You know, and obviously without going in depth, because I can't remember what devotional that one was, like second one maybe, or it was early in the book. You know, we just moved into our dream house that my wife and I really had built. We designed it for 7 years and finally retired, and we're going to move into it. And it's everything that we wanted for our four kids. And 6 months into the new house, I got a call from the district attorney of the state of New York, and I'm living in the Chicago area, and said that, you know, your investments with this, my financial advisor, which I had everything with, by the way, was gone. He embezzled it. And it's another one of those sad stories, but you know, I think about this, you know, I'm 24, 25 years old. Who am I going to rely on? I didn't know what to do with my money, stuff it under the mattress. I had to hire somebody. So I hired a guy, and we were friends. Our families were friends. We golfed all the time. I went over to their house. I mean, they were good people, had an MBA, you know, in business and finance. And he took it all, took all my college funds for my kids that we had already started with them, and gone. And I had a decision to make. Was I going to handle this like a worldly man or a Christian man? Well, to make the long story short, he spent over 10 years in jail. When he got out, he emailed me and he said, "Don," he says, "I got to tell you," he said, "you're the only one that showed me love. You're the only one that said that you would be praying for me. You're the only one that didn't want to kill me and do stupid stuff to me." Right. I mean, I was the only one. And he got saved. He got saved. He found the Lord in penitentiary at a Bible study, because he started going because he saw something in a person that he didn't understand. How can you act that way? And I told him in my email back to him, I said, "Look, that's exactly what Jesus did for me. How could I not repay that?" Now listen, your human nature is never going to get there. Okay. My human nature is never going to get there, because my first reaction was like, "What? Where's this guy at?" Right. And then I had to pray. I had to pray hard. And I had to really get on my knees. I had to open up the Word of God, which is the playbook to life. And I started reading it, and I was already a very solid Christian at that time in my life anyway. But God took me through that. I really, truly, God takes us through some things, because now I'm helping people that struggle in this area. And when I tell them that story, they're like, "Whoa, okay, this guy can relate to me." And I have these conversations with football players. Oh my goodness, Chris, almost every day with guys coming to my office about some heartache they're going through life. And then I share some stories that God allowed me to have, because again, the big picture is now my financial advisor will be in heaven. That is the big picture. And if I would have never showed him love, I don't know. I don't know what would happen. So that's kind of the moral of that story too. And I have no reasons to not share those things and be an open book, because it's reality. There's a lot of people dealing with these things. And today, financially, I have zero debt, zero. I don't owe one penny to one person, and I am living as well as I've ever done in my entire life. And it's all because I listened to the Lord. And the last thing I want to say about this is this, that if I wouldn't have, and I would have let bitterness settle in, and I would have got angry with him and went after him and sued him and did all the things that everybody else was doing, I truly believe that my life personally would have unraveled. My marriage, possibly, my relationship with my kids, because I would have been so depressed and bitter. And, you know, and that's what is happening in our country right now, mental illness. You want to get rid of mental illness? Get on your knees and open up the word and let God start working in your life.
Don, just a couple more before I let you go. And this is a golf show, and I know that you're about to head out to Vegas to play a little golf. So talk about your trip and maybe a couple other stories of some of the fun times you've had out on the golf course.
Oh, man, I tell you, I love the game. We used to play all the time. Frank Reich and me used to go down to Florida and spend a couple months down there in the off season. Me and Frank would play every morning together. You know, that was back in the day where I was actually pretty good. Now that I'm a coach, I don't get as much playing time now. But every spring I try to get out to Vegas. I got some friends out there, and Southern Highlands is one of my favorite courses of all time. You know, and Shadow Creek is a great course to play out there. So I just love to play the game, Chris. I love traveling around. My wife is a really good player as well, and we just enjoy playing. I do a father-son with Chad, my son. We do a father-son trip every year over Memorial Day weekend and play some of the best courses in Michigan. And it's just a lot of fun. It's a great time to spend with people.
Don, before I let you go, again, the book is fantastic. It allows us to be introspective as you go through it. The daily prayers are ones that I'm going to use and I'll refer back to forever. So thank you for writing this book and for it being such a wonderful resource for us to learn some of the stories and from some of the things that you went through. I'm sure is going to be relatable to all of us. Thanks for being such a wonderful inspirational leader and a guider of men. For everybody that wants to go out and get a copy of this book, how can they do it?
Well, the only way to get it is donbeebe.com. It's not on Amazon or anything like that. Is go to donbeebe.com and they can order the books and they can do it in bulk and hand them out if that's what they want. And you know, coaches for their teams and whatever. But yeah, I just wrote it to help kids in all levels navigate themselves through life, through sports and faith.
For the fans out there that want to stay up to date with all the great things you're doing there at Aurora, how can they follow you on social media and follow the football team online?
Well, I'm at, you know, Don Beebe NFL on Twitter. Obviously, I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on, I don't do Facebook much, even though I'm on Facebook. And then Instagram a little bit, but mainly Twitter and mainly LinkedIn. You can find me.
Well, Don, I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your busy schedule to come back and be a part of the show and share stories from this wonderful book. I hope we get the privilege of catching up with you again before too long.
Well, I appreciate having me on again, Chris. It's always my honor speaking with you.
Take care, Don. All the best to you and your family. We'll catch up soon.
All right. Thank you.
See you, Don.